Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning from Jerusalem. This is Andrea. Andrea Simintov at Pull Up a Chair. Okay, a lot of experiments going on today. We're testing out a new format where I just hang out with my friends. I hang out with other dysfunctional Yids who know me from childhood and some more recently. And I want to hear from you. So open up the chat room. Send me a note. Okay, send me a note. Hey, Andrea, what do you think about? And I might even answer you. I might not if I have no opinions or I'm, as usual, woefully ill-informed. Okay, this morning we're going to, we'll be talking about a lot of different things. We're going to be speaking this morning with my good friend, Ellen Horowitz, writer, artist, and guru extraordinaire. I'm very excited to speak with Ellen. She wrote a book called The Oslo Years, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to also ask her if Jews are inherently funny. And afterwards, we're going to a real treat. You're all going to get to meet my cousin Eddie on the other side. So anybody who is interested in the dynamics of what makes Jews crazy, stay on for the entire show, and then we'll see. We have a few other potential guests lined up, and I can't wait to speak with you. So again, hit the chat room. Hey, Andrea, I want to pull up a chair. You don't have to write all of that. It's tiring for the fingers at this time of morning. And we will speak. And tell me, when you go into the chat room, tell me what country you're listening from, and I will see you on the other side.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar, I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
And we are back. Good morning from Jerusalem. Holy, holy Jerusalem, the capital city of the land of Israel. I want to say good morning before we go on. We have listeners this morning. So exciting. We have listeners, of course, from Israel, of course, from America. But we have listening in this morning Cyprus, Canada, Panama, and France. France, Jews of France, come home. Panama, good morning. But my favorite, once again, good morning, Saudi Arabia. Last week we shared saving tips for the people of Saudi Arabia who are suffering. So anyway, good morning, all of you. Stay on the line, open the chat room, send me the note, and I will address it. Before we get on to my first guest, I had a thought, and I must tell you, I'm proud to say that I don't even know what the Golden Globes are. I do not know what Golden Globes are. I know about the Oscars. I know about the Tonys. I know about the Emmys. The Emmys are TV. I even think I know about country Western music. I ended up, you know, I was watching TV, watching a lot of stuff, and I see standing ovations at this anomaly called the Golden Globe. And it will remain nameless, but I see standing ovations for actors. Actors. I have a theater background. I'm not ashamed to admit it, but I'm not proud to admit it. And I see people standing, tears in their eyes, celebrating actors. And I thought about my husband, who was away this past Sabbath. And he was in England because after generations and thousands and thousands and thousands of years of commitment to our Masorah, our tradition, his oldest grandson became a bar mitzvah in London. And I thought to myself, my husband gets a standing ovation. His son and his daughter-in-law get standing ovations. What is this? The Golden Globes. And then I thought to myself, good morning, Israel. Another hero, another contributor to society, another tzaddik amongst us, Rabbi Raziel Shevach, slaughtered again, another Yid, another Jew, slaughtered on the roads of our country, our beautiful, giving, contributing, inventing, moral, holy state of Israel, slaughtered on the road by surprise. A Muslim insurgent, another angry person, somebody who will now guarantee his family years and years and years of monies coming into their coffers because he did the holy act of slaughtering a non-human, a Jew on the road. I want Raziel Shevach's name to be heard. I want it to be heard in Panama, in Cyprus, in America, in Canada. I want you not to forget him. This holy man was not just a man who performed brises, bringing circumcisions, helping Jewish boys enter the eternal covenant of the Jewish people. He was an MDA, a Magen David Adam, the Star of David. He was an emergency volunteer. He saved lives day in and day out on the roads and in homes and in the communities of Israel. He saved the lives of Jews, of Christians, of Arabs, slaughtered on the road, saved 6 children. Standing ovations to the men and women among us who birth, nurture, continue to live. Forgive me. I made a posting on my Facebook page, and there were some who said, thank you, Andrea. I didn't even know about this. And I had to fight the urge. What do you mean you didn't know about this? I eat it. I breathe it. I live it. Kindness. Kindness. Don't do that, Andrea. And then I was assailed by sad faces, you know, the little icons, little emoticons, sad faces. And I had to get a grip. Don't give me a sad face. Give me an enraged face. Somebody write to Mark Zuckerberg and tell him that he has to insert an emoticon that says, what am I going to do about this face? A where do I stand face? How am I nurturing the world face? Rabbi Raziel Shevach of blessed memory. Don't forget. Don't forget. Get angry. Get defiant. Get determined. And get active. We're holding it for you, people. We're nurturing it. We're holding it for you. Join us. Don't give us a sad face. Give us a hand across the water. Okay. Deep breath. Deep breath. All right. Pull up a chair. I pulled up my own chair. I'm in my husband's bathrobe. It's like a whole, it's a whole superstitious thing. I really don't believe in that. All right. So before, you know what? I was going to talk about some of my favorite articles of the week. I'll get to those later. I have a good friend on the, somebody made fun. Everybody's your best friend. This really is my new best friend. Ellen Horowitz, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line, and I'm giving you a standing ovation for that opening. I have to tell you, I'm just like beyond. It's beyond. It was great. It's so
yes.
True.
So you know what, Ellen, this is very, it's very funny because, you know, I'm going to get all kinds of notes to tell us how many minutes we have left, blah, blah, blah. But I want to say that we're fun friends. I mean, we became friends, a lot of fun. I knew your name way back when. I knew I used to read articles of yours, and I thought, oh, I want to be you when I grow up. And then you showed up at my door one day with terrible hairdo. Right? Do I have it right?
Right. Okay. We can be honest on this show. It was beyond terrible. Yeah, it was bad. It was real bad.
It was serious. It was serious. It was like Quasimodo on steroids.
Yeah.
Quasimodo on steroids. So you came in and I put you together, and we laughed, we cried, we tried on accessories. Right. And I have a question for you before we go on. We're going to go on. I want to talk about your book, but first I want to ask you a question. Are Jews right. funny? Are Jews funny, Ellen?
Jews are intense people. They laugh hard. They cry hard. They, you know, yeah, they're funny because of that. I mean, that's why they're so funny, because they feel so deeply. A person who's really funny has to be a thinking, feeling person. That's just my opinion. Yeah.
All right, I think we basically covered that. Okay, now, Ellen, so tell me, Jews are funny. I didn't say funny looking. Now, Ellen, you're speaking with Andrea Simintov, and pull up a chair.
Okay. And
we're not going to tell people that you're drinking herbal tea with honey, because you cannot. I told you, you can't come on this show.
I know, because usually I put the mud stuff in with the boiling water, and it sits at the bottom of my cup, but I just couldn't look at it today. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So tell us. So talk to me a minute. All right, we really got to get to. Okay, first of all, what about the Oslo years? You wrote a book. You wrote a book, Ellen? You didn't tell me that when we were talking about nail polish. Tell me about your book.
Well, that was a book that I wrote a long time ago, The Oslo Years, A Mother's Journal. It basically took a look. It covered like 13 years from like just before that awful handshake on the White House lawn through all the terror attacks, and it ended just before the quote-unquote disengagement, when we ripped, you know, whatever, 10,000 families or people or whatever from their homes in Gaza.
Right.
It was basically, it's a coffee table book. It includes a lot of pictures, which I purchased the rights to use those pictures from Reuters and the Associated Press and a French press agency, and the commentaries that I had written for the Jerusalem Post and for various Jewish, news magazines and Arut Sheva, and I put it all together with headlines and commentaries, and that was the book. And it was widely acclaimed, thank God. And you know, it sold out, but it was a very expensive book to produce, so I never put it out again.
I was going to ask you if it's still available.
I think you can go to Amazon and you can look up Oslo Years, A Mother's Journal. The Oslo Years, A Mother's Journal by Ellen Horowitz. And it's still, you know, a few copies here, a few copies there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, because at the end of the show, I put together a little synopsis, and I put together a link and how people can contact you. And these are going to be very important points. So, Ellen, we only have a few minutes left, and then we'll try to pick this up on the other side, if it's okay, if you have enough honey and tea bags left.
Yeah. I'm not even drinking it. I'm just looking at it. Okay.
Yeah, just look at it. Just think filterless camels. That's what we want to be this morning. So now you've been a writer, you've been a journalist. We share certain similarities. You were married for many, many years. You have children, grandchildren, a lot of naches. Okay. Anybody who doesn't know the word naches, look it up. N-A-C-H-E-S. Okay. I'm not going to translate it. Ellen, when we come back, we're going to talk about how you actually reinvented yourself, or if I might ask, or I might state, you returned to a place that was very familiar. What is the name of this new second career you have?
Return to brushes. My first love was painting and art, and, of course, you know, you get to Israel and you get diverted into many other things. So I was a researcher and a writer and a teacher, et cetera. And now, after many, many years, I've picked up the brushes again. I put away the Pentium and I'm painting, and I'm very happy with it.
You're being received. I mean, the accolades are astounding. But I always believe that art kind of transcends mediums. So your writing has always been an art, and now you're painting graphic art. Will you stay on the line with us, Ellen? boil some more water, birth a baby.
No, I'm still looking at the same tea bag. Go ahead, and same water. Go on. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll stay.
We'll speak on the other side. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
And we're back. Andrea Simintov at Pull Up a Chair on Israel News Talk Radio. Actually, the only link your computer needs to be set at. We're on the phone with my good friend and someone who I admire greatly, writer, artist, and guru, Ellen Horowitz. Ellen, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, but I didn't know I was a guru. Okay.
You are. Well, when you come over next time for the next haircut, we'll practice the lotus position. So listen, one thing I wanted to share with you, it's like I need to get it on the air, but I need to share this with you, and then the listeners will hear. You know, I went to, we talk a lot about our health, and I went to a lipid doctor this week. You know what a lipidologist is, a lipid doctor?
Lipid, is that like a fat doctor?
You got it. Like blood fats, right? I have to share this with you, Ellen, because we always talk about, you know, how refined Israelis are.
Right.
So I am not joking. I am not joking. I went to this doctor and my numbers are off the chart. I was vegan for 6 months and my numbers were off the chart. Okay.
Really?
Insane. Yeah, because it's heredity. Okay. We're going to have my cousin Eddie on the phone afterwards and I'm going to ask him about his cholesterol. So I went to this lipid doctor and he wants to get me into a study, but I've been so irresponsible. I start statins, I get off, and I have no track record. So they can't put me into this study until I show them that I'm going to be a good patient. Right.
Right.
He says to me, honestly, he goes, whoa, you know, think thick Israeli accent, think a waiting room filled with people. And he's chatting with me. He says, wow, your numbers are horrific. Your age is right. Too bad you haven't had a myocardial infarction yet. I could have gotten you right into the program.
I can't believe that. That's craziness. Yeah. But that's so Israeli to say.
Yeah, yeah. He told me that it was too bad that I hadn't, you know, they hadn't found me laying on the street grasping my chest because I would be able to get that injection. All right. Now, when you come back on the show the other time, what kind of things are we going to speak about? You know, you talk about you're synthesizing your art with the situation in Israel. Just talk to me a little bit about that. And so we can give everybody like a little vorspeise, a little taste of our next visit.
Yeah. As a mother, an Israeli mother living in Israel, and as an artist, I often like explore maternal anxiety and help. It's often reflected in my art. So for me, ultimately, because I've already been the writer, and because I've returned to brushes, I try to awaken the Jewish soul, and I try to synthesize heart and mind, which is very much what a Jewish person, you know, is ultimately supposed to do. So I try to take Jewish texts and combine them with art. It's a little right. weird to be waxing so poetic at this hour in the morning. But and then I try to come to this point that really touches on the Jewish soul. And it doesn't matter if somebody has never touched a Torah or Tanakh or read their Bible, or whether mm-hmm. someone's extremely learned and has all the commentaries under their belt. Because in my work, I try to include, I study a lot, I study the commentaries, and I try to include all those interpretations, as well as just try to affect people with the visuals themselves. So whether they know or they don't know, I'm trying to kind of make contact with their inner Jewish, you know, whatever.
Well, we're going to talk about this more because, I mean, your stuff is really magnificent. I am going to, at the end, when the podcast will be available to the listeners of Pull Up a Chair, I will include your website. I want them to see your stuff. I'm trying to get some of it, you know, without paying you mm-hmm. any royalties. You haven't been, you know, very cooperative on this. And I'm going to try not to make fun of the line you said, a Jewish mother's anxiety.
That's called
Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right. So Ellen Horowitz, we're not allowed to promise. What do we say instead of a promise? We say what?
I don't know. What do we say instead of a promise?
We say bli neder. Let me help you with this.
Okay? We're going to speak Hebrew now. Okay, right, because I don't speak that language. Okay, but go on.
Right. We say bli neder. You'll be on the show again. People will want to know more about you. The promo will be about – we'll talk about your hair later, okay?
You may never want to talk about that subject, but go ahead.
And we're going to talk more about funny Jews. Thank you for being on with me this morning, Ellen, and have a wonderful, beautiful day. All right.
Enjoy. Have a good one. We should only hear good news, okay? Take care.
Amen,
thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Be vigilant, Yidden. Okay. All right. Speaking about funny Jews, passionate Jews, speaking about dysfunctional Jews and Jewish families, I really must introduce you all to probably one of the oldest people around who knows me, Bimakor, from my soul. I want to introduce you to the other half of the definition of vibrant, passionate, dysfunctional, insane, intelligent, nuts, Jewish family. My next guest was a childhood partner in crime. He's a blues guitarist. He's a former school psychologist. And he's my dear, dear friend. And most important, my first cousin, Eddie Lee Isaacs. Eddie, are you on the line?
I am here, my dear cousin in Israel.
It is
you got
wonderful.
Me?
I've got you loud and clear, and you're speaking, you know, you're speaking not just to Israel, you're speaking to Cyprus, Saudi Arabia, Canada, Panama, France. Do you love it?
That's fantastic. Listen, first thing, you know, it's been so long since we spoke. I had a discussion with somebody, and it really, somebody told me this. Is it true? Do you have more grandchildren than B.B. King?
I really don't know. I don't even know what the Golden Globes are, Eddie. So you're going to ask me about B.B. King. I get mixed up when you say B.B. King because I'm thinking Don King
okay,
with
he's
the hairdo.
Okay, got a lot of grandchildrens. Okay.
All right.
When you said you wanted to talk about the dysfunction in our family, you know, I gave it some thought today. And, you know, I know you said it kind of half-kiddingly because we certainly had some dysfunction, but... You know, when you introduced me as a school psychologist, and, you know, I worked with the school system for 27 years.
Right.
And I'll tell you, you know, when I started working with people and interacting with people, I thought, I mean, not to blow our own horn, I said, boy, my parents really did not do that bad of a job, you know?
You know what? There's a very famous, a very admired rabbi here. He lives here in Israel, but he's internationally known. He was the head of the... of the addiction program at University of Pennsylvania, Rabbi Abraham Twersky. And it's amazing. He's a chassid, you know, wears the whole kapota, the whole robe and the hat. And he sits in on all of these 12-step programs. And he said he was so excited. I mean, he's like the vision, the paradigm of emotional and spiritual health to so many people. And he said he was so excited when he learned about the dysfunction of families because he didn't feel left out. He realized that he, too, came from a dysfunctional family.
So we're not alone.
We're not alone. And Eddie, so I want the audience, we're going to be back and forth. You know, I'm going to cut you off at a certain point and then we're going to come back on. But we were the family of American born. Our parents were American born, but they had an immigrant background. And we were in the retail business for many years. Do you remember working all those years in my father's dry goods store in Brooklyn?
Oh, my goodness. Your father, like my family's so indebted to your father, your family, really. Please, I'm almost starting to cry. The truth of the matter is your father pulled us through and a lot. And I recognize looking back, you know, we worked for him a lot. You know, it was so interesting. And it all ties into so much interesting stuff, Andrea, just to start right there. Such a great, great point, you know. My first memories were of his store on 73 Graham Avenue in Brooklyn. I believe it's called Williamsburg.
Right.
You know,
it'd be all gentrified. You can make a very hot, even street.
Oh, get it. It's, you know, like millions of dollars for a one-bedroom apartment now, you know?
Yeah.
And Graham Avenue, for your information, is now called Avenue of the Puerto Ricos. still.
Right.
It was
honored
in that name. And as a young kid, you know, this is before I worked for him, but my brother worked for him at 73 Graham Avenue. And,
before that he had a route where he was a custom peddler, which was some sort of old occupation that I'm not even exactly sure what it is.
He used to sell dry goods. He went house to house. He went house to house, and he would sell the women. He would sell the housewives. I even have some of his old salt and pepper shakers, which are very non-PC, you know, pictures of Native Americans, you know, building fires around the teepees.
And they would pay out, right? They would pay out as they had the money. Is that how it go? He'd come back to collect a lot of times?
Yeah, he kept a little book. That's how he started. I must tell you that on my computer, before I start each show, I always say a prayer. I say a prayer that this show should go well, that I should have wonderful interaction with my guest and with my cousin Eddie. And I actually have my father's name on a big bright piece of yellow duct tape, because I know that if I can speak now and make my father proud with anything that comes out of my mouth, I'm doing okay.
You bet. And believe me, there's a lot to be proud of. And
do you remember, I'm going to talk to you about it, because these dry goods, the kids today, they don't understand. They don't understand what it was to have a merchant for a father. Do you remember the salsa band in the window of the opening?
Oh, it was the El Rio Sextet.
No.
My brother Steve always reminds me. It was the El Rio Sextet. And we were there on the street that day. The whole street was so lively and jumping. And he opened up a his store was a clothing store. And he opened up across the street from it a furniture shop. And for the grand opening, he hired this group called the El Rio Sextet. And the street was going crazy. It was wild.
He went to school at night learn Spanish.
He went to school at night and he learned Spanish. And I just remember, like, when I worked for him, somebody walked in his store and go, ¿Qué quiere? You know, what do you need? What do you wish? It was so funny. And your mother would, like, go to some of the bar mitzvahs or weddings, and, you know, she'd go alone because he was studying.
Okay.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back. We're back online with my cousin Eddie. Listen, good morning, Jeff from Cyprus. Okay, Jeff says we should learn the lesson of Gaza and don't give an inch land for peace. Blah, 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 blah. Jeff, we're on the same team. We're on the same page. Just stay listening to the program, Jeff, and I hope the weather is good by you. All right. I was thinking during the coffee break.
I was thinking too. I'm going to cut you off. Did we have a crush on each other?
Do we have a crush on each other? I don't think so. We're not Sephardic. I loved you. I admired you. Okay. Every girlfriend I had, some of whom are listening to the show, every girlfriend I had went out with you. Everyone loved you.
What's going on with Kathy? Can you get me back with her?
I'm not sure, but I just spoke to Kathy last night. God willing, she'll be on the show next week. Eddie, you'll catch up yourselves. You'll catch up. She's fantastic.
Yes.
Eddie.
Continue. Don't let me overrun you.
I thought, whose show is this? Okay, you're on Pull Up a Chair. You're speaking to Israel. We're going to get you here. I have a whole room for you to come visit.
We're very proud of you, too. I must say, you know, you're rocking and rolling, man. Okay, go ahead.
It's a good life. I've been very, very, very blessed. You know about all the kinks. You know about all the blips. Now, I have to tell you, Eddie, my children, Kanainahara, my six children, they love the stories of my youth. They love it. And again, we have listeners from all over the world, listeners who love Israel, listeners who, for some very odd reason, appear to be obsessed. Those who aren't Jewish seem to be obsessed with Jews. And, good morning, Dexter. Having said that, My children love my childhood memories. And we used to go very, very often as families. We would all pile into whatever station wagon my family owned at the time. And we would drive. Yeah. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. Where are we driving
to, Eddie? Let me tell you, first of all, one of the funniest ones, really, that I was thinking about today. You know, first of all, when we would do those trips, you know, usually your parents would drive, your father would drive, and like you say, you always bought a station wagon, and he had a friend that owned a Chevrolet dealer in Brooklyn, and we'd go. And what was interesting is we'd go to Uncle Lou in Jersey. So we'd go
in
over
Highland Park, New Jersey, by the way.
I'm sorry?
It's in Highland Park, New Jersey.
So you go over to Williamsburg Bridge and you're on Delancey Street in the Bowery, which is now a hot, gentrified area. But back then when we would go, we'd get over. It was like all winos and prostitutes and all run down Skid Row.
Right.
And I remember your mother. See, one thing about our family that I did love, man, and I noticed this in some households, we had a sense of humor. We liked to laugh. And we got over the bridge, and your mother said, "So I think Andrea, we're going to move here now. We're going to buy a new place, a new home right here. We're going to move here." And you started crying.
So you should see where I live now.
And people may not be able to relate to this. Maybe they can. But when we would drive into the city or to Jersey, we'd go like over the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, and you'd be like on this highway and the Long Island Expressway, and like right next to you are these like 3-4 story walk-ups with people's windows right on the expressway with like, you know, hundreds of thousands of cars passing by your window every day, you know? And I was always looking like hoping I'd see like a lady undressing or something, you know? But then we got over the bridge and you started crying because your mother said we were going to move there and take you out of your home in Long Island.
Yeah, well, today, the world has changed. Sorry. Today I could take my mother to court for that. I could call it child abuse.
Well, please,
you know.
There you go, Grandpa Maya. You know, my mother was, they say, beat up very badly by him. They say he was a real hitter. He was a real crazy bastard, and he beat the crap out of his kids.
Okay. So anyway, we know that we had a motto in our family. It was a motto coined by our Uncle Lou, and it was eat up or get beat up. Now, having said that.
Yes, you know, successful child rearing, encouraging, warm. Yeah.
Okay, warmth.
Yeah.
Warm compassion.
Nurturing,
please let me share this with my dad.
That household, yeah.
Having said that, do you remember, good morning, Belarus. We have Belarus listening to our childhood, Ed. All right.
Boy, are we on the same page. You know, when you say eat up or get beat up, I was thinking about it today. We were some pretty finicky eaters, weren't we, as kids?
I want to talk more about what happened. Yeah, right. Well, we're all on Weight Watchers.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to talk more about the children's dining room. The children's dining room in our uncle's house.
Yeah. I remember he said, let the animals eat. He said, let the animals eat in there, you know? Yeah.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about you only got to eat in the adult dining room if you were married. And the longer you stayed single.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, I'll tell you something. I've been to some places where, like, the kids are on top of you. I'm not used to that. I thought kids like to go and, you know, play on the computer or go watch TV or go do something. And sometimes I go to some people's houses and the kids are on. All right, go ahead. Yeah.
All right.
So what you say, the adults only married for the master dining room?
Right, to get in. It was the same meal. And, oh, by the way, Eddie, we have the Virgin Islands listening in this morning. Good morning, Virgin Island. Good morning. Good night. I don't even know what time it is there. Isn't that something?
Very cool. So,
because I want to share with people, because when I went to college, I went to college with WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. And I remember going to their house for dinner and getting a piece of chicken on my plate and a piece of scalloped potato. And the only thing they served family style was perhaps a bowl of coleslaw. And it doesn't remind me. I want to talk to you about, you know, I'm going toward dessert. I'm going toward dessert at the dinner.
Yes, yes.
Do you remember the time when Aunt Esther put out an apple crumb cake and just an apple crumb cake for dessert. Do you remember the ride back to New York after we were served an apple crumb cake?
And I remember my mother and your mother saying something like, "Oh, I wouldn't put out just one dessert or just something like that."
What? How does a Jew eat a piece of apple crumb cake? Why doesn't a Jew get a piece of babka? What does a Jew need? What? How? And it was on and on, basically about our ethnicity. And where did she learn? From what Christians did she learn to serve just a piece of apple crumb cake?
Well, listen, it's no secret that Aunt Esther, may she rest in peace, she was a wonderful lady, but she was very different from your mother and my mother. By the way, our mothers, in case your listeners don't know, our mothers are sisters, 12 years apart in age. And, thank God your mom is still kicking
thank
and
God.
Going pretty good at 88. But, let's face it, our parents, they had an edge. Our mothers, and they were critical and judgmental, and that's not to say that they weren't warm, loving, intelligent, wonderful people in many ways, but they definitely have a critical, objective edge there, and
Eddie, listen.
That's putting it lightly.
Eddie, there are so many things we have to talk about, so many things we are inviting them into, the Rosenthal clan. When you come back on the show the next time, we're going to talk about, I don't know if you know the origin of the name Rosenthal. We're kind of wrapping up the show, and there's some things I need to talk about. There's some things
I
need to talk about.
Okay, well, just remember when we went to my brother's wedding, and the day after the wedding, or the first roof, we went to see Eric Clapton, and opening up for him was this guy that nobody ever heard of called Elton John.
I remember it well. We're going to talk about it. And my mother screaming because she had paid $25 for my hairdo, and I ripped it down because I didn't want to look like a nerd at the concert.
Okie doke.
All right, Eddie Isaacs, welcome. It's about time we get you physically here to Israel. I need to talk to some of my listeners a bit. Eddie?
Great, I'm going to put you on, stream you, and very glad I had a chance to pull up a chair.
Oh, you will be on again and again. You're everyone's favorite jazz guitarist, and you're everyone's favorite partner in crime to Andrea.
I want to talk about how many, the tremendous number of jazz musicians coming out of your country here in New York City. It's astounding.
We'll do a music show next.
We've got a lot to get to, and we scratched the surface tonight, right?
Okay, bye-bye, my friend. Thank you for being on. Shabbat shalom.
I love you, honey. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, wow. I feel I have to not cry. That was extremely meaningful to me, but I don't want to go into the Sabbath without, once again, first of all, that was great. Two of my favorite people. Wow, I'm high. I don't want to go into the Sabbath again, just with the yuck and thinking it's business as usual. In the Holy Land, it is never business as usual. Oh, do we yearn? We yearn for a country of Golden Globe Awards. We yearn for a country of, I get my nails done a lot. I get my nails done. Let that be the high point of my day, my rage going back to get a chip repaired. It isn't. We ride the roads. Our children come home from school. We have metal detectors and bomb detectors at every entrance. And we are good people. We are loving people, good people. We contribute to the world. Keep Israel in your prayers. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in the determination. And instead of hitting the tear-stained button, please find a button that says, "I'm in, I'm holding hands from Jerusalem." This is Andrea Simintov with Pull Up a Chair. Shabbat shalom. Peace. Spread the word. And keep smiling, keep teaching, and keep defiant. Bye-bye.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.